So would the fifth man have brought a spotter of his own? A sixth man? Probably not, because there was already a sixth man away driving the gray van, so a spotter would be a seventh man, and seven was a large and unwieldy number for a local conspiracy. So the fifth man was most likely on his own, and therefore, at the minimum, he would have set up a physical early warning system, either fresh gravel or broken glass scattered along the approaches, or possibly a tripwire at the shelter's entrance, something noisy, something definitive, something to help him relax. Reacher stepped back from the brambles and walked toward the entrance. He stopped a foot short of level and listened hard, but he heard nothing at all. He breathed the air, hoping to detect the kind of faint chemical tang that would betray the presence of a parked vehicle, benzenes and cold hydrocarbons riding the earthier organic odors of dirt and old wood. But his broken nose was blocked with clots of blood, and he had no sense of smell, none at all. So he just drew the sawn off with his right hand and the Glock with his left, and inched forward and peered right, and saw a tripwire. It was a length of thin electrical cable, low voltage, like something a hobbyist would buy at Radio Shack, insulated with black plastic, tied tight and shin-high across the open end of the structure. It was filmy with the part-dried remains of the morning dew, which meant it had been in place for at least 2 hours, since before dawn, which in turn meant the fifth man was a serious, cautious person, and patient, and committed, and fully invested. And it meant he had been contacted the day before by the Duncans, maybe in the late afternoon, as a belt and suspenders backup plan, which confirmed, finally, that the barn was indeed important. Reacher smiled. All the way right. He stayed clear of the tangled vine and walked a silent, exaggerated curve. He worked on the assumption that most people were right-handed, so he wanted to be on the guy's left before he announced himself, because that would give the guy's rifle a longer and more awkward traverse before it came to bear on his target. He watched the ground and saw nothing noisy there. He saw a truck deep inside the shelter, parked halfway under the mezzanine floor. Its tailgate was open, the dirty white paint on its edge pale in the gloom. He approached within 6 inches of the wire, and stood absolutely still, letting his eyes adjust. The inside of the shelter was dark, except for thin, random bars of sunlight coming through gaps between warped boards. The truck was still and inert. It was a Chevy Silverado. Above it, a long step up from its crew cab roof, was the loft, and there was a humped shape up there, ass and legs and back and elbows, all preceded by the soles of a pair of boots, all brightly backlit by daylight coming in through the ventilation louvers. The fifth man, prone with a rifle. Reacher stepped over the tripwire, left foot, then right, high and careful, and eased into the shadows. He inched along the left-hand tire track, where the earth was beaten smooth, like walking a tightrope. Slow and cautious, holding his breath, he made it to the back of the truck. From there he could see the fifth man's feet, but nothing more. He needed a better angle. He needed to be up in the truck's load bed, which meant that a silent approach was no longer an option. The sheet metal would clang and the suspension would creak, and from that point onward the morning would get very noisy, very fast. He took a deep breath through his mouth, in and out. Chapter 55. Eldridge Tyler heard nothing at all until a sudden, shattering cacophony erupted 10 feet behind him and 8 feet below. There was some kind of heavy metal implement beating on the side of his truck, and then footsteps were thumping into the load bed, and a loud nasal voice was screaming, "Stay still! Stay still!" and then a shotgun fired into the roof above his back with a pulverizing blast in the closed space. And the voice yelled, "Stay still! Stay still!" again, and the shotgun crunch, crunched, ready for the next round, and hot, spent buckshot pattered down on him, and wormy sawdust drifted off the damaged boards above him and settled all around him like fine, khaki snow. Then the shelter went quiet again. The voice said, "Take your hands off your gun, or I'll shoot you in the ass." Tyler took his right forefinger off the trigger and eased his left hand out from under the barrel. The voice was behind him, to the left. He jacked up on his palms and turned a little, arching his back, craning his neck. He saw a big guy, 6'5", at least, probably 250, wearing a big brown parka and a wool cap. He was holding himself awkwardly, like he was stiff, like he was hurting bad, exactly as advertised, except for a length of duct tape stuck to his face. Nobody had mentioned that. He was holding a sawed-off shotgun and a big metal wrench. He was right-handed. His shoulders were broad. The center of his skull was about 73 inches off the floor of the Silverado's load bed, exactly as calculated. Tyler closed his eyes. Reacher saw a man somewhere between 60 and 70 years old, broad and not tall, with thin gray hair and a seamed, weather-beaten face. He was dressed in multiple layers, topped by an old flannel shirt and wool pants. Beyond him and beneath him was the gleam of fine walnut and smooth gunmetal, an expensive hunting rifle, resting on what looked like stacked bags of rice. There was a bottle of water next to the rice and what looked like a sandwich. Reacher said, "Your tripwire worked real well, didn't it?" The guy didn't answer. Reacher asked, "What's your name?" The guy didn't answer. Reacher said, "Come down from there. Leave your rifle where it is." The guy didn't move. His eyes were closed. He was thinking. Reacher saw him running through the same basic calculation any busted man makes. How much do they know? Reacher told him, "I know most of it. I just need the last few details." The guy said nothing. Reacher said, 25 years ago, a little girl came here to see flowers. Probably she came every Sunday. One particular Sunday, you were here too. I want to know if you were here by chance or on purpose." The guy opened his eyes, said nothing. Reacher said, "I'm going to assume you were here on purpose." The guy didn't answer. Reacher said,